really part four of Revelation Answers Genesis.
It? Yes.
Part four, Revelation Answers Genesis. Wow, I really meant to get through this in one session, which is a shock, I know. I don't know how this happens, except I get on these sidetracks that I hope are profitable. But before I get on another one, I'm going to dive right into it, and the lighting's going to change left and right here. But we are finding out how the book of Revelation is an answer to the problems from Genesis. We talked about Nimrod, we talked about a flood, we talked about the rainbow. Here's something new. Sodom and Egypt are mentioned as a place of corruption and temptation. Sodom and Egypt, very, very bad places. Sodom is not a good type, right? It's a type of the flesh. Egypt, also a type of the flesh. And these were places of corruption and temptation. The chapters relevant are Genesis 13 and Genesis 19. Now, Sodom and Egypt come up again in the unveiling, chapter 11, but they're spiritually representing Jerusalem, which is very interesting. We're going to get to this. This is in the throne section. No, it's in the temple section, beginning with chapter 11 of the unveiling. We'll be getting to that. There's a confederacy against Abraham's people, and it's overthrown in Genesis 14. In Revelation 12, there's also another confederacy against Abraham's seed, but they're overthrown again, and this time permanently. There's the marriage of Adam. It's not mentioned as a marriage, but is joining with Eve in Genesis chapter 2. And we have a marriage feast of the last Adam in chapter 19, the bride, the New Jerusalem. So this is a restoration of what was lost, gained and lost in Eden. There's a bride sought for Abraham's son Isaac, sought and found in chapter 24 of Genesis. There's a bride made ready and brought to the greater son, the unveiling, chapter 19. There are two angels acting for God on behalf of his people, Genesis chapter 19. There are two witnesses acting for God on behalf of his people in the unveiling, chapter 11. We have a promise seed, a promised seed that will possess the gates of the enemies. This is Genesis chapter 22. In Revelation chapter 11, we have the promised seed coming into the possession. So things that were promised in Genesis are realized in the unveiling. All right, I told you I had found another chart, and I have. Why isn't my computer moving? Oh, we have a few more items here. I just couldn't scroll down there. We have the marriage, the angels, the promise. Man's dominion ceased and Satan's began. This is huge. Man's dominion, Adam's dominion ceased, and Satan became the god of this eon. Very disturbing fact. And that's in Genesis 3:24. Satan's dominion is ended and man's is restored in Genesis 22. That is a perfect undoing of a bad thing. I'll say it again. Adam's dominion ceased and Satan's began, to the point that Satan is called the sovereignty of the air, the god of this eon. And we don't even have jurisdiction over the animals anymore. Lion tamers have to have whips and chairs, and they're scared to death in there. Throw them some raw meat, you know. They're certainly not in control of them. Well, barely. They need chairs. But not so on the new earth. Even in the kingdom, the animal kingdom is once again subject to man. So Satan's dominion is ended and humanity's dominion is restored. This happens not only in the millennial kingdom, but on the new earth, chapter 22. Now, the serpent, which caused sin and suffering and death in Genesis, chapter 3, verse 1. Serpent was the most subtle of the creation. The doom of the old serpent is executed in the unveiling. But it's not an eternal doom. It's torment for the eons of the eons, Revelation 20, verse 10. Not forever and ever, as your common English versions will say. The last point on this particular list is we have the sun, the moon, and the stars associated with Israel in Genesis 37, verse 9, we have the sun, moon, and the stars associated again with Israel. Celestial bodies coming back into play big time in the 12th chapter of the unveiling. Now, I told you I had another list, and I'm going to briefly go through this. Genesis and Revelation. This was a development of Dr. Bullinger's list. Let me look at my time here, and let's see where we are. Okay, we're going to start at the beginning here. This is the probationary versus the secured world. Everything was on probation in Genesis. But Revelation on the new earth, especially, things are secured. Once again, this list mentions the division of light and darkness. Genesis 1, there's no night on the new earth, Revelation 21. Division of land and sea, no more sea, Revelation 21. Rule of the sun and the moon, Genesis 1, no need of the sun or moon, Revelation chapter 21. The first heavens and earth are finished. In Revelation 21, there's a new heaven and new earth established. Man is in a garden prepared for him by God, Genesis 2, 8, 9. That garden was lost. In the unveiling, chapter 21, God prepares a city for humanity, and it is not lost. It endures for the eon. There's a river flowing out of Eden. Some of these are repetition, I realize. In Genesis chapter 2, there's a river flowing from God's throne on the new earth in Revelation 22. There's a tree of life in the midst of the garden, Genesis 2. There's a tree of life in the new city, the new Jerusalem, that gives life. The leaves of that tree bring life and healing to the nations. There's gold in the land. There's gold in them there hills. Come and listen to a story about a man named Jed. And he found gold in Texas. Texas tea, black gold. And so there was gold in the land. I didn't realize this. Genesis 2 talks about gold. Okay, I'll take their word for it here. I shouldn't. I should go back there. Well, look at Genesis 2:12. All right, I'm Martin Zender. I'll check this out for you. I'm going to the King James Version here, but they're saying it's gold, and this seems, I don't remember mention of gold. Genesis 2:12. We're going to expose this on the air unless we can confirm it. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium. How do you put a B in front of a D with no vowel in between? What kind of language is this? Bdellium. Is the B silent? Is it delium? That's some kind of precious gem, but I'm going to call it bdellium, just because I'm who I am, and the onyx stone. So there it is, gold, sure enough. And gold is mentioned again where? Where is gold mentioned again? In Revelation 21:21, there's gold in the city. Of course there is. Yeah, the streets of gold. Now, the bdellium is brought up, or if it's delium, I'm sorry. And the onyx stone in Genesis 2, I just read it, and there's all manner of precious stones mentioned in Revelation 21. So we have precious stones lost, precious stones regained, and sealed on the new earth. God walks in the garden. This was the most beautiful thing Adam had in the Garden of Eden. He had a fellowship with God. He walked with God. He communed with God. But of course, the difference with Adam was he didn't appreciate anything that he had with God because he didn't have the contrast of evil. He didn't have that contrastive experience. However, on the new earth, we see that God again dwells with his people. You might say, well, why didn't he just keep dwelling with them? Why did he have to leave in Genesis? Because now we have an appreciation of God dwelling with the people because of the experience of evil through the aeonian times. So there's a much richer, rewarding experience, a knowledgeable experience of being with God because of the lack of it during the aeonian times. The Spirit energized. God's Spirit came and moved upon the waters in Genesis 1:2, and the Spirit invites now in Revelation 22 to partake of the experience of God. A bride was formed for her husband. Talked about this in the last chart, Genesis 2. Once again, a bride, New Jerusalem, the people Jerusalem, the people of the covenant, are arrayed for her husband. And Christ is her husband, she's the bride. This is the relationship Israel has with Christ. It's not our relationship with Christ. We are members of his body. That's an even closer union than being a part of the bride. What a shocking day that was when I realized, well, seems why you can't get any closer than standing next to your husband. But no, you can be even closer. How about if you are the husband? You're one with the husband. Well, we're not a husband, but we're part of the body of Christ. That's the analogy used for our relation with them. We did that command to multiply. God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. So they had sex and lots of it. And we see this happening again. The nations, where does it happen again? Command to multiply, nations of the saved. Revelation 20, 24. I don't have my, why isn't my CLNT with me? I'm going to have to go to the King James Version because my CLNT is in the kitchen. But I told you that they're going to be procreating, and I have a feeling I know what this says. They use the word multiply on this chart, but then they say nations of the saved. They don't use the word multiply, and I'm wondering why not. I'm thinking that this is the generations. Revelation 21, 24. Once again, King James Version. Revelation 21. I'm doing this live here. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. I'm not seeing the correlation here. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. What's it? It's got to be the New Jerusalem. Yeah, the city, which has no need of sun or moon. So what does this have to do? I'm disappointed because I'm seeing multiplication. I'm expecting people to be having sex here. In verse 24 of Revelation 21, I'm not seeing it. Nations of them, they're saved to walk in it. I would, instead of going to that verse, I would go to the verse that speaks of the generations. I think this is Ephesians 3:21. Let's see if I'm right here. If I'm not, I'm going to be embarrassed in front of the entire world here. Oh, God. I am right. Ephesians 3:21, the King James Version, so I'm going to adjust for the mistranslation. Unto him be glory in the ecclesia in Christ Jesus throughout the ages, world without end, amen. That is so, I'm going to the kitchen to get my CLNT. Hang on one second, I'll be right back. How much time do I have left? All right, I got 2 minutes, hang on.
Don't go away. Ephesians 3:21 is what I want.
Ephesians 3:21. Hang on. Ephesians 3:20. The King James Version was terrible. Here it is. This is where sex comes in on the new earth. If any of you were worried about it, all of you are not going to be on the new earth. You're going to be in heaven. But I should have mentioned this. There's going to be no sexual intercourse, no male or female, but it's going to be better. It's going to be even better. It's going to be a fulfillment of the type. Sexual intercourse is just a whisper of a type of some gloriously great thing that it speaks of. And so with the abolishment of it, it doesn't mean that all enjoyment is going to be abolished. It means that whatever small enjoyment God gave us on this earth with the male and female is going to come to its fulfillment. The thing that it was getting to, that it was hitting at, is going to be realized, and then the type is done away. Just like we have no use for the lambs anymore because Jesus Christ showed up, likewise, we have no use for sexual relations because that which it spoke of, the joy, the pleasure, the fulfillment, the knowing all, whatever, is going to be fulfilled. Now, this is the genius translation of Ephesians 3:21 in the Concordant Version. Let's start with verse 20. Now, to him who is able to do super excessively above all that we are requesting or apprehending, according to the power that is operating in us, to him be glory in the ecclesia and in Christ Jesus. Here it is, for all the generations of the eon of the eons, amen, the eon of the eons. Because I'm a smart guy and I understand the relationship of the eons, I know, and of course King James says forever and ever there, which is absurd, the eon of the eons is the fifth eon, the eon of all the eons. There's a singular there next to the plural. The generations of the eon of the eons. So there will be people generated on that. This is my thinking. I have no direct statement that says people will be procreating on the new earth, but all the generations of the eon of the eons, unless there's just so many generations that come out of eon four and they're static, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. So I think there's going to still be male and female on the new earth. I think it's going to be no more females from Venus and males from Mars. They're going to get each other. It's going to be a wonderful time. But we have a greater expectation among the celestials. And we have a perfection that has not even been reached in Aeon 5. We can anticipate that now in spirit. I invite you to do that with me.